We are now nearing the end days for the Jungle, the sprawling homeless camp under I-5 in Seattle. Here to tell us more, KUOW's growth and development reporter, Joshua McNichols. Hello.
Hey, Bill.
What is going on with the Jungle?
Well, the state has $1 million burning a hole in its pocket.
Oh?
Remember how we got that money from the legislature to do something under I-5 there, to improve the roads and basically make it easier for cops and firefighters to get in there.
Right.
And now they want to start that construction. They don't have the green light from the city yet, so we don't have an actual deadline yet, but there are signs that we're getting closer to that. So they're starting to encourage people to move out.
Encourage people to move out. What do you mean by that?
Well, we're unsure exactly how that's going to work. The Union Gospel Mission, which has been doing a bunch of outreach up in that area, the city is saying that Union Gospel Mission has managed to get over 150 people to leave, and there's about 100 people left. So UGM is telling them they probably should leave.
And the city, I understand, has set up an interim camp as a place for Jungle residents to go. Where is that, and how would that work?
Well, it's underneath these sort of spiraling on-ramps. It's a little corner at Airport Way South and Royal Brome. And it's hot. It's this sort of parched patch of grass. And, you know, people are sort of sitting in their tents baking there. And it's an existing camp. If you drive by there now, there's lots of tents. But the city came in and the state also, and they've been telling people this is where people are going to be directed to from the Jungle. And the people who are there now are starting to prepare for that. It's almost like, you know, before a hurricane comes in a city, they start like putting plywood over the windows or something. There is actual construction happening. And so I'm going to introduce you to this guy, Tennessee, who I found he was digging. He was extending the platform where his tent was because he needed to move it 5 feet away from the on-ramp. So here's Tennessee.
You know, more drama, more action, more fussing, fighting, arguing. He said, she said, this is mine. I had it first. It's going to be a lot of times, you know, you think you understand and they have the wrong understanding, a misunderstanding. So it can bring a whole lot of confusion into the environment.
So that there, what Tennessee is reacting to is this idea that when lots of people move to this site, it's going to get more confusing. You're going to have people living elbow to elbow, and he sees that as creating some strife. But the, you know, workers are trying to instill some order here. They came in and put some orange spray paint down, marking out paths, saying, okay, don't put your tent on the path. We need to make sure the fire marshal can get through here. And they've also, they mowed some lawn to the, just to the south of the existing camp. They're kind of extending it, trying to give people more breathing room as all these Jungle residents will come in. It looks kind of like a suburban development right now with no houses on it down in the south part because, you know, where the camp will extend. Here's a guy named Vaughn Hutchins. He's camping in the existing area now, and he says he's glad that the city is trying to help people, but they may not understand how complicated this is.
Each little homeless camp has their own people. It's almost a community. So to bring someone from another community to here is just going to make things worse, clash. You know, there might be, you know, people that don't necessarily like each other from that camp, they have this camp. And if they wanted to live here, they would have lived here.
So how did the people who live in the Jungle feel about moving and having to move?
Well, the people I talked to say they don't like the idea of moving down to this lower camp. The Jungle's a little bit uphill, and they look down on this camp. They know where it is. It's not that far from the Jungle, but they kind of turn their noses up at it a little bit. I talked to Kevin Boggs, who lives in the part of the Jungle known as the Caves. That's where the shooting happened last January. He said, the Jungle may have danger, but at least people have room to spread out there.
It's a comfortable way to live here. Down there is dangerous. There's every time I walk through there or walk near there, I hear fights, screaming, people burning each other's tents down and stuff like that. It's a lawless area down there. And unless they have a permanent live-staffed police station right in the middle of it, that's not going to change.
Now, I should say, when I walked through there, none of that stuff was happening. Basically, people were just sitting in their hot tents, you know, baking and mopping their brows. And the Jungle is shady, in contrast.
Mm-hmm.
But I did hear from several people in the Jungle that the idea that the camp they had this idea that the camp where they're supposed to go is going to be too crowded. And before the city got involved, they say there was a stabbing and a shooting and a tent fire at this site.
It's so striking to hear people from this homeless encampment called the Jungle talk about how lawless this other place is, when all we've heard for months and months and months is that the Jungle is the epitome of lawlessness.
Hey, isn't that interesting? I mean, it really is about who you know. You know, you know the people that you're next to. And even if there's a shooting just, you know, 200 feet away or something like that, people feel more safe when they know the people in the tents that are right next to them.
What happens next, Joshua?
Well, we expect to hear more about the city and its intentions for this interim camp this week. It could come as early as Tuesday. So far, we know that the camp will remain open until the city can open a navigation center like the one in San Francisco. That's a place where campers can be sent. You know, it's kind of a factory meant to efficiently connect people with shelter or services that will eventually lead them to housing. But that won't be complete at least until the end of the year.
And finally, Joshua, how about the campers in this interim camp where Jungle residents will be set? What's next for them?
Well, I spoke to a woman named Tina. She didn't want to use her last name because she's fleeing an abusive partner. But she's trying to, you know, organize the campers. So here's a cut from Tina.
We're going to get organized and we're going to stop the city from, you know, basically just dumping their problem on us.
Tina says if they're going to take all these people in this camp, they need to be more like one of the sanctioned camps where they have a welcome tent and a screening process. You know, keep in mind, this is not a sanctioned, it's kind of a confusing thing. It's not a sanctioned tent city, and yet it's people are being directed to go there by the city. And so, but the city says they are going to let them sort of self-organize. We don't know exactly what shape that'll take. The city intends for this to be a low-barrier tent city, so that means, you know, almost anybody can go in there. And yet the people who camp there now want to have some control over who comes in, so there's a potential conflict there.
Reporting on the possible beginning of the end for the infamous homeless camp under I-5 in Seattle known as the Jungle. That's our growth and development reporter, Joshua McNichols. Thanks, Joshua.
Thank you.
You're listening to KUOW's The Record.